a bit of an accident on the way over here. We actually didn't see the accident happen, but a fairly large-sized truck had sideswiped a van and crushed it in pretty well. Looks like there may have been a death from that. You know, our life is pretty fleeting, and sometimes it's just an accident. But other times, there's things that we can do which actually causes death. Today, I'd like to talk to you about death, but smoking equals death, both physically and spiritually. I sent this message to a brother who isn't able to be here each week, and I got a fairly quick reply. He said, basically, "Greetings, thanks be to Yah for removing the filthy bad habit of smoking from me 7 years ago when I cried from within. It was awesome because no craving afterward. Hallelujah." And Yahweh can certainly provide miracles today for us, especially when we cry to Him in earnest expectation of deliverance, just as the children of Israel did at times. Revelation 22:10 through 11, the King James Version. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Now we know that there is a separation that will be made by Yahshua. The goats on the left, the sheep on the right. And they will be divided in this manner. Those that are righteous and holy need to accept Yahweh's word on this. It is His will. But those who are unjust and filthy still have time to repent and change their ways and to turn to Yahweh away from their own ways of doing things. While we're referring to this concept in the New Testament, it also appears in the Old. Ezekiel 3:27 in the New American Standard Bible. "But when I speak to you, I will open up your mouth," speaking to Ezekiel, "and you will say to them," to the children of Israel, "Thus says Yahweh Elohim, He who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house." There will be, at the end of the age, those of the house of Israel that will refuse to listen, and some who will. It was this way in the past, and I suspect it will be this way in the future. We can recall, too, that Yahshua said more than once, "He who has an ear, let him hear." I wonder if it wasn't because of this prophecy, which stood at Ezekiel's time, and might have reminded people of Yahshua's time and ours. Do people need a reminding? Is there a little bit of Manasseh in all the tribes of Israel? Jeremiah 10:2-4. "Thus says Yahweh, Do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusion, because it is cut from the forest, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, which is a cutting tool. They decorate it with gold and silver. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so it will not totter." Do we consider so-called Christmas trees today a delusion of the peoples? How about smoking, which came from a people who worship nature spirits and other idols? Were they under a delusion? Did they understand that their heathen practices were harmful to them, both spiritually as well as physically? Or were they unaware and under a delusion? Smoking statistics by the World Health Organization, put out in May 28th of 2002, relates the following. Smoking-related diseases kill 1 in 10 adults globally, or cause 4 million deaths. By 2030, if current trends continue, smoking will kill 1 in 6 people. Every 8 seconds, someone dies from tobacco use. About 12 times more British people have died from smoking than from World War II. Cigarettes cause more than 1 in 5 American deaths. Half of long-term smokers will die from tobacco. Every cigarette smoked cuts at least 5 minutes of life on average, about the same time it takes to smoke it. Smoking is the single largest preventable cause of disease and premature death. It is a prime factor in heart disease, stroke, and chronic lung disease. It can cause cancer of the lungs, larynx, esophagus, mouth, bladder, and contributes to cancer of the cervix, pancreas, and kidneys. More than 4,000 toxic or carcinogenic chemicals have been found in tobacco smoke. It's pretty serious business, and we are not unaware today as maybe those in the past have been. Are we under a delusion, or do we know what the ramifications are, both physically and spiritually? 1 Corinthians 3:16, the sacred scriptures. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? Of course, he's speaking of those that are baptized into Yahshua and have Yahweh's spirit. Verse 17, if anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him. For the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which you are. It's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to be willful or willfully practicing wrong. Is sin wrong? But is smoking a sin? The Apostle James answers the question. James 4:17 in the New Living Translation says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Is it a sin to have the knowledge that smoking not only is harmful to you, but also harmful to others, even causing their death? A comprehensive study finished in 2010 said 600,000 a year die around the world, specifically due to secondhand smoke, with over 1 million becoming sickened each year. What was the command? Oh yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to be a clean people, to watch ourselves, to help others. My mother had a sister who was raised in a house with a smoking dad. A couple of years ago, she died. She died of lung cancer. And my mother knew what the cause was. She had no hesitation to say where that cause came from. And I think it's pretty evident with the knowledge that we have today. One could say it's common knowledge. It's common knowledge that smoking equals death, at least physically. But it appears that it will kill spiritually too if one persists in it defiantly and openly refusing to quit. Have you heard of the candy and cake argument? An often used argument is that eating cake and candy can kill a person too. Well, you can drink enough water, it can kill you. I mean, there's different things we could look at. But while that is not comparing apples to apples, there are some taxes called sin tax, which is levied on items such as candy bars, but is typically associated with alcohol and cigarettes. So what's the difference? Here's the difference, and it's one we all need to remember. When death-related incidents are attributed to alcohol, for example, the adjectives such as excessive or abusive are used. Those adjectives are not used in the death statistics seen with cigarette usage. The sin tax really is a sin tax. When it comes to cigarettes, the other things in moderation are not sinful. In fact, both chocolate and wine can add life to a person. Let's get educated. The more educated people are, the less likely they will smoke. It's been shown to be true. If you truly understand that cigarettes can indeed kill you, then you are more than likely not to even start. But what if you do start and then find you can't stop? What then? Cigarettes have nicotine, a highly addictive chemical which is causing serotonin levels in the brain to increase along with other physiological changes in the body. That occurs with cigarette smoking. Do you think maybe knowledge of this affected the tobacco companies just a little bit? WebMD Health News, an article by Celine Boyles, January 18, 2007, wrote, "Nicotine levels in cigarettes rose 11% from 1998 to 2005, according to a Harvard School of Public Health analysis. Nicotine is the main addictive ingredient in cigarettes. The Harvard analysis confirms an early report by Massachusetts health officials. Tobacco industry officials deny there has been a deliberate attempt to manipulate nicotine levels in cigarettes, saying the nicotine in tobacco products fluctuates randomly from year to year. But the lead author of the Harvard study says the upward trend cannot be explained by random market fluctuations." Did Yahshua have in mind in the following, Matthew 5:16, when thinking about, or did Yahshua have in mind the following when thinking about what tobacco companies have allegedly done? "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Probably not. How about us? Wouldn't Yahshua have had in mind us not having the appearance of evil and doing good things instead? I suspect so. Proverbs 16:17. "The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life." This is a true statement out of Proverbs. Not all of Proverbs can be taken so literally, but I think this can in this situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil." And as they say, out of the mouths of babes. Is smoking wrong? Is it evil to do? I think even children realize this. Is there an adverse effect on a smoker's health as well as those around them? Isn't smoking seen by many as an unreligious and filthy habit? How would that affect witnessing? Does one love their neighbor by harming them? How does one stop doing wrong? Well, going to Yahweh, seeking His will, humbling oneself is one of the first steps. Seeing smoking for what it is not always enough. Cigarette smoking can have a more addictive hold on some people than heroin, but fasting and prayer can be used to combat it. This brings us to another topic needing to be addressed, namely medicine. Medicine is described as follows in the concise Oxford English Dictionary under medicine: the science or practice of the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of disease, and technical use often taken to exclude surgery. A drug or other preparation for the treatment or prevention of disease. After we seek Yahweh's help, is it wrong to do other things in addition to that? What does prophecy tell us? The prophecy for the coming kingdom indicates that there will be trees which will provide leaves which can be used for healing. Ezekiel 47:12. "By the rivers of its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing." There is a technique for addicts to gradually go off the substance that they're addicted to. Patches, gum, in the case of cigarette smoking, the nicotine that's in them, and other means are allowed to help one overcome. Some will say that Yahweh is against medical treatments, though, which include medicine or otherwise. A Greek word like pharmakia, used in Scripture, does not disallow help to be given with medicine, but someone who has a lifestyle of smoking crack, getting drunk and stoned just so that they can get high, well, Scripture is pretty clear. Those who do such things will not be coming into the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Revelation 21:7-8. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers," that is, drug users, that's a pharmakia word, "and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." it's a lake of destruction, basically. It's just where, you know, people are evaporated, basically. It's an intense fire that is a destroying fire. The medicine that helps a person can be used. Medical type salves were evidently common enough for Yahshua to say in Revelation 3:18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you can see. Yahshua also knew that there were physicians which the sick were in need of. Mark 2, verse 17, and hearing this, Yahshua said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so we do see a lot of people coming in today. They have a background. I mean, we all have backgrounds. I could tell you, I have a whole laundry list I could probably bring up of my background. But I'm not going to, and I have no need to, and I haven't brought those things with me. I've left them, and we need to leave those things behind us because we're going forward. We're going forward. We're not to take our hands off the plow. We're not to be looking back. We're to be changing ourselves, conforming ourselves in the image of the Messiah. Is the Messiah smoking? Did he ever smoke? I mean, it's such a filthy habit that we see today. And many of us had started without knowing. I smoked, but I quit. Thankfully, I cried out to Yahweh for help as well, as others. So Yahweh does provide. It is said that Luke was not a despised physician, indicating his trade besides himself was not rejected, but rather accepted. Colossians 4 in verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, send you his greetings, and also Demas. This was spoken by the Apostle Paul, the same Paul that advised Timothy to take some wine as medicine for his ailing stomach and frequent ailments mentioned in 1 Timothy 5:23. Is it then not all right, then, for someone, anyone, who is trying to change their life around for the better to use some of the tools at their disposal today? Going back to the initial scripture we started with, Revelation 22 and going down to verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. When we come out of the world, we are in the process of getting ourselves clean and drawing closer to a clean cloud of witnesses and Messiah. And we are witnesses. We are to go forth as a clean people, teaching others how to be clean and be a light to the nations of Yahweh's ways and his way of doing things. We should not be desiring to stand still, but to setting an example among the nations on how to live clean and righteous lives in Messiah Yahshua. When we read Revelation 22, verse 11, do we see the picture? We're not to have one foot in the past and one foot in the future. We need to come clean and come out of the other side. It means making a clean break and sometimes dressing differently, attitude-wise, being more and more conformed like the Messiah. I noticed a Christian friend of mine some 25 years ago had his little pinky nail growing. He cut all of his other nails, but he let this one grow. Well, the style at the time was kind of the Don Johnson, Miami Vice type of look. But that type of look can be taken too far. And these people can end up looking like drug dealers or, you know, in the case of having a little pinky thing, you know, a drug user. But it doesn't represent who we are. We're called to be a holy people, a clean people. Anything else other than those two things is a bad witness. So it's a pretty serious message that we've got here today. And this is not a big problem, I think, for most of us. But for those of us, like myself, who've gone through this, I know it can be a very hard thing to give up. but we're here to help, and we don't turn people away because of this. We strive to help and allow them to grow and overcome. But I think we do find in Acts 15 there were certain reasons why there needed to be some things dealt with before they came into the synagogues and started worshiping, and you know, being baptized and going through the commitment and everything that we go through. So we do encourage people to clean themselves up, come and present themselves before Yahweh, and grow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify Elohim on the day of visitation. One of the best witnesses we can have is being transformed from an old way of life, a way that is contrary to Yahweh's way of life. If we were really on the dark side, we really need to get away from that dark side and come clean. We don't match the look of that lifestyle anymore. We certainly don't act the part that we had before we came into the light. And yes, there may be residual leftover effects from our upbringing, but with time we grow and they fade away. This includes negative friends and influences of the past. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 6. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge in with them with the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse upon you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Kind of reminds me of the goat-sheep separation. I mean, there is a judgment coming, and I think we are built with some sense within us, even to know right from wrong. But I think we need to continue to break free from the past. Get rid of everything that hinders us from being a good example to others. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore esteem Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are of Elohim. Smoking is a dark, destructive habit that has both physical and spiritual implications for those who, knowing the consequences, continue in it. 2 Peter 2:19. People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. We are not to be mastered by our fleshly desires, but rather we are to master them. We'll go ahead and close with the following scripture and warning. Genesis 4, verse 7. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Take time out to pray, fast, even call for others to pray over you. Do anything, but don't take another drag to get that nicotine fix, because it's a drug and delivery system that is killing millions. Don't let it kill you. Remember, we're not talking about just a physical death, but also a spiritual one for willfully continuing in sin. The last scripture was talking about Cain, who didn't give an acceptable offering. I suppose we could also think about Aaron's son, who brought strange fire into Yahweh. The point is, we are to be living in such a way that no one can accuse us of wrong against the calling that we've been given. So as Scripture says, make your calling and election sure. Don't be like Abel or like Aaron's sons, but come before Yahweh with clean hands, clean clothes, and a humble attitude, and do what is right in Yahweh's sight. Bring a sweet aroma that is acceptable to him. This is our calling, and this is what we need to do.